Hey, powerhouses. So, welcome to another episode of Becoming Powerhouse. And today I have a guest expert, Allison Borosik, who I've interviewed, and I know you're going to enjoy some of the gems that she has to share here. She's the CEO and creative director of Allison Kelly Design, which is a boutique marketing agency that specializes in brand development, graphic and web design, and social media content creation and management. Who can use help in that area these days? Allison and her team have helped hundreds of businesses and nonprofit organizations streamline their messaging and increase their conversations. And Allison Kelly Design has recently been named one of the top social media and marketing agencies in Amherst, New York. When she's not working, she's spending time with her family, her husband Aaron, her son Max, and their dog Pierogi, which is a fantastic name. She's also a volunteer and on the Wink Buffalo Business Advisory Board. She is the secretary and honoree for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And in her spare time, whenever she gets that here or there, she is a avid reader, runner, cyclist, enjoys watching football. Go Bills for anyone here in Buffalo with us, and watching The Office and comedy from the 90s. So please tune in, enjoy our chat, and always engage after to ask questions. Welcome to Becoming Powerhouse, where we discuss the tough lessons I've learned while taking my two companies from negative revenue to over seven figures. We'll talk about the raw and vulnerable truths about being boss, as well as tips and strategies you can implement immediately for better business results. I'm your host, Nicole Overkamp, the founder and CEO of Wilcox Financial Group and Powerhouse Coaching. You can see links and other resources in our notes. Don't forget to head over to powerhousemoney.com to grab your free Power Bundle for business and subscribe to our newsletter. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. So, powerhouses, I have Allie with us now. And, you know, Allie, first, welcome. Thank you for joining me on this interview. I'm super excited to have you here. And I think mostly because I've had the privilege of seeing your journey over the last couple of years as well. And I think you have so many incredible stories and experiences to share with other entrepreneurs who can 1000% relate to you, but then also how much I've seen you help businesses themselves. So, you know, Allie, in your own words, I would love to hear how you got started in the business in the first place and what made you go out on your own.
So it goes back to 2015. All the way back then, I was the marketing director, development director for a nonprofit in Buffalo. And I would just toy around with logos. And I'm like, oh, Allison Kelly Design, that sounds like a good name. And everybody thinks my name is Allison Kelly, and it's not. It's Allison Borosik. However, it kind of is because Kelly's my middle name, but you would not even believe how many people are like, oh, hi, Allison Kelly. I'm like, it's like my stage name now. I'm like, okay, great. So I was toying with the idea. And then in 2017, I was a graphic designer first before anything. People started to see the work that I was doing for my former employer. And then I was getting freelancing clients, you know, just by referral on the side. In 2018, I became a mom. And even though my former employer was awesome and was like, you can work from home, I was like, great. Very quickly, I realized that's not going to totally work when I need to be on someone else's timeline, because a 7-month-old waits for no one, right? Like, so I decided, you know, now is the time to make that dream a reality. So I told my boss, I'm like, I love this. And I love, and it was so, so hard to leave that job because it was a great job. I got paid well, loved my boss, loved what I did. But I always had this in the back of my head, like, I want to be on my own. And my son gave me the courage to do it. He really did, because I wanted more time with him. I pretty much can probably say that I don't know if I would have been brave enough to quit a super like satisfying full-time job to start my business if it weren't for him, for wanting to be with him more. So started that with literally, he was on my lap. I went on an online legal website, which I'm not going to plug. And I started my business. I started my LLC with just my freelancing clients and a little bit of money and kind of went from there. So
yeah, I love that. And what's so interesting is that you quit your job after you had your son and when you were a new mom. Yeah. And it's interesting because what I hear more often is I'll wait for my kids to grow up. I'll wait until they have more time, or I enjoy the stability, you know, and everyone tends to say, I will one day or someday, where you really took that leap of faith and your abilities and had the courage. Maybe your son helped with that and doing that. And I think that's tremendous because it, to your point, what better time, number one, than now? And you had the tremendous ability to hustle in your fragments of time while choosing to be able to maximize your time with your son. So I wanted to make that point of how remarkable that is, because it is not, I would say, the common choice, but it's probably the bravest choice, especially when you're following what you know you're capable of achieving. And we should all do that more, should we not? So that's great. And so that was back in 2018.
19.
Okay.
That was
2019. So over the last couple of years in growing a business with a newborn has its own set of challenges. And I'm sure new moms who are owning businesses can relate to this. And I know for sure my sister has. So I've seen some of those, I think, challenges that I most definitely cannot relate to on a personal level, but I've seen them with my girlfriends and with my sister. And like, it is not easy. And I will empathize with you. Like I've had my sister's kids like once in a while and I'm toast after, like, you can't get anything done. Like, it exhausts you, you know, you feel like you don't like, for me anyways, I'm like, I don't think I did anything today, but I also am so tired. Yeah. And so, you know, can you talk a little bit about, and as you've been growing the business as a mom, and I know your husband is super supportive, but what have been the biggest obstacles that you've faced? If there's maybe one or two that stand out to you that you think, you're really proud of, number one, going through, but then were able to overcome them.
Well, there's two main things that come to mind. And number one is just the sheer time constraint, right? Mm-hmm. So just so everybody knows, I don't have a ton of family that lives by me. I don't have a nanny, anything like that. We don't really have that village, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. There's no village. It's me and my husband, we're doing it. And so my husband's job, he has worked his way up in his company, so it's allowed him more flexibility, but just the sheer like, okay, you know, how do we balance the time? How do we make sure that we aren't looking at taking care of our son as a chore? Like, we want to be with our son, right? So how do we adjust everything else around that? That has been super hard. But like you said, my husband is so supportive, and I could not feasibly do this without him. I will say that it would be a bajillion times harder, if not impossible, if he didn't help me balance that time and that and what we had to do. But I think also I do want to touch on the point that there, in the last 2 years when my business really took off, there were so many times when I was like, and you know of some of them, Nicole.
Yeah.
There are so many times that I was like, I think I should just stop. I think I'm done. Mm-hmm. And the biggest one for me was when my dad passed away. It was not expected. It just kind of happened. And I quickly, you know, I was 35 at the time when that happened. And in my mind, that is young for losing a parent. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't ready for it at all. And then I had this estate that I had to take care of and everything. And it managing an estate, if you've done it before, is literally like an additional part-time job. So I was at that point after my dad died, immediately after, where I'm like, how do I like resume my life? Right. You know, I was just so in the midst of grief. I'm like, how do I do anything? Like, there was a point where I'm like, I have to like get up and like put a brave face on for my son tomorrow, let alone like go to the office. Like, there was a time where I was just like, I cannot imagine there's been so many instances. That was the biggest one. But even in the last year, that happened in 2021. But even mm-hmm. in last year, I remember having a conversation with you like 3 months ago where I'm like, this is driving me crazy. I don't think I can do this. I think I need to stop. And you walked me off the ledge. and I, sure enough, like something huge, literally like a couple days after that happened for my business, yeah. which kind of resolved the problem. Right. So, I think the biggest piece of advice, I was talking to a friend about this recently, is to just show up even when it sucks. Even when it mm-hmm. sucks, show up, number one. Yeah. And number two, viewing obstacles as an opportunity. Like that whole rejection is redirection. If you don't land that client, okay, I didn't land that client, but why didn't I? And taking a look yeah. at what you could do better. That yeah. has been really hard for me because I'm an extremely sensitive person who takes everything personally. And I think, oh, this is a reflection of me. Gotta stop doing that. I'm yeah. still actively working on it. But that is something that I would say, like, if I'm mm-hmm. giving one piece of advice to other people who are so closely tied in with their work that they think it's an extension of them, like, you gotta, when things don't work out the way that you need it to, examine why and fix it. And you yeah. have to deal with that too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. And I think it is, it's so easy to take everything personal. Like, and then if you're anything like me, and I believe you are, because we've talked about this, is yeah. like, I will overanalyze and agonize over everything. Right.
Oh yeah.
And I had to train myself, right, to just let it go. Okay. It's not personal. I'm not the right fit for everybody, but also, what can I do differently or change to change that story later on as well? Because to your point, yeah, like if we're told no or we're rejected, it gives us this amazing opportunity to look inward and say, is this person really just not a fit? Or can I do something differently with my process or how I'm handling that initial onboarding? And I heard this too, and I was listening to something the other day, and it was so good because the person I was listening to, and I can't remember, it might have been Simon Sinek, and he was saying, you know, competition is part of what you have to be successful. He was talking about those components of remarkable businesses and success. And he said, competition is a critical part to make you explosive and grow in business. And at first I was like, interesting. But what he was saying is competition forces you to be better if you look at it the right way. And so it really, you know, he was saying, instead of focusing on what the competition is doing and how you can be better than them, instead focus on what do they have that you don't. And right. how can you look inward and be better and focus on you? So it gives us that opportunity to look at us. And so, you know, in a similar vein of saying, well, the rejection piece, another part that I hear all the time, and I didn't mean to digress, but it like, it triggered that thought is like, I also hear, well, there's so much competition, right? Yeah. Or they were going to someone else. And then we use that as an excuse to let it go. And to feel sorry for ourselves versus saying, well, like, wait a minute, how can I then use that as a powerful tool to help me in my business? And yeah, like life is always hard, you know, tragedy is always going to happen. Life is going to happen. And it, you know, and I talk about this often, is that you have to choose how you want to live. So even though that happened, we have to ask ourselves, well, now what, right? Like, yeah. We can't change what happened in the past, and we do need to honor our feelings. They're real, but we are still here. We are still here with air in our lungs and a mission and something that we often feel passionate about. So we have to choose how we want to show up and continue. And And often that doesn't involve quitting, even though we want to sometimes. And I don't think there's a business owner listening to this like podcast that hasn't wanted to like throw in the towel and say F it at some point. And that's got to be normal, I would think, you know, and it doesn't matter what phase you're in your business, whether you're just starting out in your first couple of years like you are, or, you know, I've been in over a decade now, like there are definitely days where I'm like, am I nuts? Like, am I freaking nuts? And why am I doing this? You know, who's the fool? And it's always these temporary periods of time, because like, our business is so much of our fabric and what we breathe in and breathe out and obsess over all the time, that because of that, the pendulum swings can be so volatile, right? Because we have so much wrapped into it. And so it's definitely a natural feeling. And so I'd love to know, what were some of the things that you held onto or that helped you get over and through and then past those difficult things?
I think the main thing is that I have worked for somebody else, and even at its best, it can't compare to the freedom and the creativity and everything that I have right now. Like that is the main thing that I go to. It's like, okay, yeah, but if I quit, what would I do? You know, I think about that. And even this as hardest is still better than even a great job where I don't feel challenged, where it's not, I would rather everything be in my hands. And if I fail, I'm like, okay, I failed, but I can try something different, try something new. Even at the best jobs, right? You don't always have that freedom to be able to be like, well, I failed. I don't get to try again because this person doesn't trust my input, whatever, or my ideas isn't even given a chance because there's 15 other people in the room that all want, you know, kind of the same attention. And so at least here, the one thing that I hold on to is I have creative freedom and my success is up to me. That alone helps me push through everything. And also I know that this is the best form of myself. This is where I thrive. If I went back, and like I said, I loved my job before, you know, but if I went back to that, I would know that I would wake up every day thinking, what could have been, you know, no one wants that. It's the worst.
You know, yeah. You never want to say like, man, what if I was capable of this? Like, you are freaking capable of this, so do it, you know?
Absolutely.
And you're right, like the only person who can control your success and the only person who can get exactly what it is that you want to dream about is you. Like, that's it. And I agree, like that is the best part of owning your business, is that you get to control that, like it or not, you know, or however many excuses we make, we are the only reason we succeed or fail. And to me, I think that's so cool. And I would make a terrible employee. I would definitely be a horrible employee. I'm so used to calling all the shots. I like to be, you know, in control. I'd probably be fired after a day, but like, you know, and I know you can relate to this one, is like when you're creating and building your dream and this thing that you feel so strongly about, the hours evaporate and it's so much easier to weave that into your day, weave it into your life when you are also prioritizing your family in your personal time and in the time with your son. Because that is one thing about you, Allie, that I admire in terms of how you've gotten better. And maybe you want to talk to us a little bit about putting in those boundaries so that it's not all of that, because it's easy to do. It's easy to fall into that slippery slope of working and not stopping working, but you've started to have specific times where you're with your son and that's it. So maybe talking about that and how you were able to get quite a bit better at it.
Yeah. So that took some time, because especially like as a solopreneur, it's all on you. So I think the main problem that I had is that I had zero boundaries with people. And that is one thing that I talk about now constantly, because that was such a huge hang up for me in the beginning. Was, oh, I need to get somebody in the door. I need to bend over backwards, answer every message, you know, the minute that they message me, or they're going to think I'm ignoring them. And then the truth is, that's not true. If you, as long as you clearly communicate to people and you tell them, okay, I will get back to you end of day Friday. You set those boundaries. I am available between X, Y, and Z time and X, Y, and Z time. People respect that. They respect that as long as you clearly communicate that going forward. And now, like, for example, I'm out of the office on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I set my focus on my iPhone because I know that if I don't, so hard to control that, not immediately responding to the message. So I know that I've put tools in place to help calm kind of my anxious mind. And I know that in my contracts, for example, when I work with people, I build some of those boundaries in just so they know, like even before we sign, this is what it's like working with me. And so if this doesn't work for you, you know, they don't have to sign with me, but this is when I'm available. This is how I can communicate. And if we're a good fit, then we're a good fit. But letting people know your boundaries up front is critical to you not hating your job. And so if you get nothing out of anything else I say today, just set those boundaries and clearly communicate them. And I promise you, you're going to feel a whole ton better.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like when you set expectations, people respect them. When you set boundaries, people respect them. It's just, if you fail to do so, they don't know that they exist, number one. And then what I find too, is like, you end up resenting the clients that, that you really should be loving normally, but it's really on you, right? And the buck always starts and stops with you. Like if there is something that is going wrong or you're not liking, like, it's your fault, right? So what can you do to change it?
Yeah. And that's the thing. And you wind up getting frustrated, but it's all within your control. And again, that's another thing that keeps me going. It's all within my control. If I'm screwing up, if I'm messing up, if I need to be better, I fix it, right? Like, it's not like some policy out floating somewhere that I need to adhere to. Like, no, it's, you make the policy. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, the buck stops with you. You got to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. And we forget that. We're so good at playing martyr and saying like, oh my God, I'm so busy, or I can't do this, or I don't have time for that. And like, but wait a minute, you know, we are in control of that. So super, super important. And so with the time that we have left, Allie, I would love to get some tips from you, because you run a branding and a social media company. And I believe that from my experience, social media is one of those things that we all know we can leverage better, we should be using if we're not already, or could be using better. It's free for the most part. It gives us so much great exposure. Oh, but we also hate it. It's like, I know I have that like love-hate relationship with it, where I try to use it as a specific tool. I get in and get out. But at the end of the day, sometimes it's also a black hole. Like, it's phenomenal how good those algorithms are to like suck you in, right? And so I would love to hear from you how, number one, like, what are some things that entrepreneurs need to know about social media, whether they're doing it themselves or having their team help or hiring someone? Like, what are some things that you see today that entrepreneurs can really take advantage of and what they should know?
So a couple things here. The first thing is, you don't need to be everywhere. Okay. And this is a common thing. People think, oh, I have a business, I need to set up a social media platform on literally every social media platform you need to be on. And so, no, that's a big no. You do need to know where your ideal client is, and you do need to show up there. Okay. So for example, if your ideal client falls within the age range of 35 and up, and you're predominantly utilizing TikTok, I would say probably don't need to do that as much, because TikTok tends to cater more so to 17 to 27. That doesn't mean they're not going to be there. It just means they're not there like they are on Instagram, for example. So that's the first piece of advice. Know who your ideal client is, number one. So many people don't know. They might know their target audience, but they might not know their ideal client, who is the person they love to work with, right? Not just the person who they can work with. So number one. Number two, utilize video. If you don't like video, I'm sorry, you gotta like it.
Learn to love it.
Super critical right now. to find a way to do short form video that works for you. Most people listening to this can probably benefit from Instagram. I would say the vast majority of people listening could benefit from Instagram. Instagram is riding that short form video wave. Doing reels is how we scale client accounts. It's almost the number one way we scale client accounts on Instagram.
And I'm just going to interrupt you super quick, but what is short form video? Because there's some people who are listening to this right now, like,
So short form video is video that's 90 seconds or less, as opposed to like a longer YouTube video that could be 3-4 upwards of an hour, right? So short form video are those shorter snippets of video, typically under 90 seconds. So that's really predominantly what I'm talking about. And learning how to do short form video well. On Instagram, we're starting to see professionally filmed reels do even better. So that's a little bit different than TikTok, where a lot of people go viral just on iPhone shot videos. I'm not saying you can't do that on Instagram, but Instagram, just like TikTok, is very niche specific. So each niche. So for example, I would be in like the social media branding niche, whereas you are in kind of the financial services / business coaching niche. So I'm not going to treat your account like I would treat my account. They're different. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that's why that professional video can really take you to the next level. So even if you can't afford doing professional video though, learn how to do that short form video well and make really high quality reels, and that will help your account grow.
Awesome.
So that's super helpful. Those are the two main things.
Okay, good.
There's so many.
I love it. And in as far as your brand, so you know, I want you to talk just a little bit about this, and there's a ton of, I want to say, misinformation or understanding about what a brand really is. I think sometimes we think like, oh, it's just, you know, I have my logo and my colors, that's good. But really it's your brand is how you want people to feel when you're not in the room. It's everything about you and the feeling that you put out there, but then is what you're putting out there the feeling that you think it is or that you want? And what does that look like? And does it all go together? And that's something that over the years I had to learn a lot about, and making sure that not only the content I was putting out there on social media was on brand, but I was always being on brand and authentic. And then my team too, you know, and making sure that clearly they understand what that brand is and the vision and everything for the company. And I'm clearly communicating that to them, because at the end of the day, they're an extension of us, just like our clients are. So, you know, from that perspective and how you've worked with companies who have teams, how have you helped, or maybe even you have a tip or two too, again, like where you're looking at, okay, here's social, here's where I want to focus and what we should be doing to really elevate our account. But then as far as the all-encompassing brand, what do I need to know about, or what are some things that I can do right now today to really help in making sure that we're developing that in a way that we want to or should be?
Sure. So the one thing I will say is that branding is not marketing. Branding is the foundation for marketing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we get business owners come to us who have been in business for like a year or so, and they're like, well, I'm not converting. I don't know what to do. I need a social media strategy. We wind up, the first thing that we do is we wind up taking a look at their website, their brand identity materials, and 9 times out of 10, they haven't invested in actual branding. They've maybe gone online and hired somebody to design a logo and design a website, but those things aren't your brand. Those are brand identity elements, and it is very easy to be all over the place with those two things if you don't cement the actual branding first. Now, what am I talking about here? Your core branding elements that we refer to are your mission, your vision, your core values, your ideal client. That's, I can't emphasize how important that is. Know who you're really talking to, right? And then your brand story is one of those very important things too. It's how you relate to your client. So you're absolutely right, Nicole, when you're saying that your brand is more than just your logo and a website. Actually, the logo and the website should come after you do the hard branding work, right? Because we don't want just a pretty logo. We want one that is speaking to your ideal client and attracts them. I can't tell you how many clients I've worked with where I've seen their logo before any branding was done. And I'm like, I thought you were a completely different business. Like, I had absolutely no idea that you do what you do, because that's not what your branding elements are communicating. That's not what your brand identity is communicating. And so before we even work with anyone on a social media strategy, people, business owners know, and you don't know what you don't know, right? So I don't blame anyone, but when people start a business, they know, oh, I need to market it. But before you market it, you need a brand. And so we work on those core branding elements, like I just stated first. Then we launch into the brand identity, because like I said, the brand identity needs to be informed by your mission, your vision, your core values, and your ideal client. And we help companies put that together and do research for them so that they're actually reaching who they want to reach, so that by the time they do implement a social media strategy, we're not just throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks. We're actually knowing exactly who we're talking to. And that makes it more effective.
Yeah. And I would guess that that saves a bit of time in terms of from start to conversion, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And actually getting people to reach out, because, and I've seen the same with a lot of clients where I look at what they're doing and I have no idea what they're actually doing, because so confusing, or it's not clear. They're all over the place. And so, you know, and in that like famous saying, if you confuse, you lose. And so you want to make sure that you're spending a ton of time in your business. You're spending money and resources on everything that it is you're doing. That communication needs to be crystal clear and on point in terms of what you're trying to convey. But then again, your overarching identity and brand and who you're talking to, because when you're not attracting your ideal client or who you want to serve, that also feels crappy. Like it's not good. It's not a fun relationship, or you might be getting a lot of no's, and it's not because you're not good at what you do, or your product sucks, or your service sucks. It's because you're not really reaching the right people or the right market because of how it may be communicated or where you're showing up.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, like, people will say, well, how hard is it to design a logo? Like, you take like the Verizon logo, for example, it's just literally the word Verizon and a check mark. Okay. So you're thinking, I could do that, right? But you don't know how much time actually goes in to researching that font, researching the actual checkmark icon, where they're going to need to put this, what different versions of the logo are needed, how the focus grouping that's done. I mean, all of that, it's extensive. And so when you say, I could do it myself, okay, but are you considering all of these other things? Probably not, right? And that's not your fault. Yeah. Like I said, we don't know what we don't know. And so that's why we consider ourselves a brand first agency. So even though we offer services that are outside of branding, you know, actual marketing services, we want to make sure that your brand is on point, because if it's not, we implement a social media strategy that is going to be all over the place. It's not going to generate results. And that's ultimately not doing anybody any favors.
I love it. And so true. You know, you want to make sure that where you're showing up matters and it counts, because just like anything else, your time is the one thing you can't get back or make more of. And then your resources, you want to maximize them so that you can grow quicker and more effectively. So thank you so much for that. And before we wrap up, Allie, is there anything else that we didn't cover that you definitely want to make sure people know about? Or if there's maybe a tip that you can give entrepreneurs who are skirting around maybe revamping, rebranding, or they may be newer and really looking to start onto that. Like, what is one thing or one takeaway that you would want listeners to, if there's anything that they did today, what would that be? Would it be an audit, a review, questions they can ask themselves to see if they're ready? Like, what would that look like for someone who is really looking at their overall strategy right now, and if they could potentially be doing something different or better, or just starting for that matter?
So if you're just starting, I would say start your business off right, invest in branding. The reason why I say that is because sometimes, like in the past, you and I have talked about this, like when I'm doing discovery calls with people, if they come to me and they say, well, I don't have the time for this expense right now, I know I've done something wrong in explaining it, right? Because branding is an investment. It is the foundation for your business. Okay. I can't stress that enough. Just like we talked about earlier, it's going to help inform your team on how to act. A document that we develop, a brand voice document, it's going to inform your team and even you, because sometimes you don't realize how you're coming off, right?
Yeah.
On how to talk to clients, on how to write when you're communicating in social media captions, etc. Take the time to do that. I guarantee your marketing will be that much more effective and actually work for you. And not only that, but you're going to be getting the right people in. Mm-hmm. Look at branding as an investment. Okay. And if you have been in business for a couple of years and maybe you're starting to see a slowdown, or you've been working with a lot of people, but you're noticing these leads are not exactly your ideal client, take a look. It's time for a rebrand. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if you have never developed those core foundational branding elements that we talked about before, take the time to actually work through them and do them. And I promise you, if you're anything like me, like a recovering people pleaser, having that branding, that foundational branding work done and sticking to it. So doing it and sticking to it, it's going to lessen your headache. It's going to attract who you want to attract, and it's going to increase your conversions and save you time. It's going to save you time and money. So I encourage both new and existing business owners to see good branding as an investment that they absolutely need to make to take their business to the next level and not just increase conversions, but fall in love with their business again.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And you talked a little bit about this and just what you were saying as far as looking at it, not only as an investment, but sometimes you're hearing, well, I'm afraid to actually spend the money on this right now. And one of the things that I want everybody to think about, and I talked about this to some degree on another podcast, is that we are headed into a different period of time, a different market where it is likely that consumer spending may be tightening. We are going to probably see a bit of a slowdown if you haven't experienced that yet. I know this feels like the strangest recession ever because a lot of businesses are going gangbusters right now, but trends may change. And if there is anything that you are going to do in a period of time where things are slowing, is you want to double down on every single one of your strengths and take an assessment of that. And if your branding and your marketing isn't conveying your strengths and how awesome you are, that's going to be a big problem for you down the road. You know, I tell everybody, if there's anything that you invest in, it's you, your business. So coaching your business and getting it what it needs, and then making sure you're communicating those things and maximizing it so that your branding and your marketing, when your competition is reducing or cutting out their marketing budget, that's when you want to be doubling down and showing up more, communicating more, and listening to what people need. What do they need, and how can you be part of that solution? And then do really good at communicating it so that you don't only grow through this period of time, but you come out on the other side 10 times ahead of where your competition is because you focused on the metrics that really mattered and didn't worry about all of the fear mongering around you or what everybody else was talking about. Because most of the time we get hung up in the what if versus, to your point, Allie, taking action and implementing in what is and what we can control, right? Control the controllables. And if we do that really well, the rest is history. So thank you so much, Allie. I really appreciate everything that you talked about today, what you shared. I'm sure there are a lot of newer entrepreneurs who can totally relate to so much of what you talked to. And for everyone who is listening, we are going to have all of Allie's contact information in the show notes, her Instagram handle, link to her website. So if you have other questions for her on anything that we did talk about, please feel free to reach out to her. She is, and I can attest to this, quick to respond. You are personally active in your DMs. So I know, I hope that I'm not speaking for you here in terms of feeling free to DM her and engage that way as well. Yeah. So thank you everyone, and continue being the powerhouse that you are.
Thanks so much for listening to Becoming Powerhouse. You can find all of the links to our site and resources in the show notes. Let's connect on Instagram at @PowHerHouseMoney. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter at powerhousemoney.com. Remember, I want to connect with you. I want to hear your thoughts and help you with all the challenges you're having. So engage, send me a DM. And of course, if you're loving this podcast, let us know and go ahead and hit the subscribe button and leave a review.